The word today is grace. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. At any given time in life, you may feel self-satisfied, as though you deserve God's favor. Or you may think that you're so bad that you are unsavable. You may even go back and forth between those two feelings. There is a solution, and here to explain further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. On The Word Today, grace.
One thing that is universally true is that all humans, including yourself, are sinners. We all are in need of God's grace and forgiveness. That's what we're going to spend a little time on right now, is contemplating God's grace. What is grace? Well, essentially it means forgiveness. I have heard it said before that grace can be explained as God's riches at Christ's expense. That uses the letters of the word grace, and it turns it into a meaningful statement. And indeed, it is true that God gave us the riches of His glory and forgiveness at the expense of Jesus Christ. There are two major misgivings, or the mistakes, mistakes made in terms of dealing with God's grace or forgiveness. And these two mistakes are attitude problems. They are misgivings, or they are decisions that people make how they want to think about God's forgiveness. The first of these mistakes or mistaken notions is it can be summarized like this. God's grace doesn't cover me. It's the old feeling that I'm too wretched. I'm too much of a sinner. There are people that kind of make the joke when they're talking with me about coming to church, and they know I'm a pastor, and I've maybe encouraged them to renew their faith life or to repent and come to the Lord Jesus and join the church. And many of them will say, well, if I came, the roof would fall in on me. And I often quickly tell them, oh, that's not very likely. We have a cement framework for our church, which is tens of thousands of pounds, and it's very strong, and I just don't think the roof will cave in on you. Well, the joke that they're making, of course, is that they feel guilty. They feel as though they're unworthy of coming into God's presence. Well, frankly, there's no one who is worthy of coming into God's presence. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, says the scriptures. But then there gets to be this feeling like I'm unsavable. There are individuals that are so guilt-ridden, and of course, maybe they have done horrific things. Maybe individuals haven't been involved in things as perverse and evil as sexual indecency or rape or murder and abuse. And sadly, these sins are committed by humans. And if you'd been involved in something like that, you may feel scummy. You may feel as though God would never want you. That's what I would call the Judas effect. Judas did something that he figured was unforgivable. He had overwhelming remorse because he had betrayed his master. He had handed Jesus over to people that wanted to kill him for no good cause. In fact, right before he went and committed suicide because of his remorse, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Well, you know, there's one extreme that a person can have, and that is that they feel that they've betrayed Jesus so badly that he would never forgive them. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus, in his divine forbearance, in his divine capacity to forgive us, is willing to do so. This is what's so amazing about what's called amazing grace. This is what's so marvelous about the gospel, is that God can do what we humans don't find the capacity to, forgive people that really don't deserve it. And yet there are individuals that need to step back a little bit and start to realize who it is they've sinned against. You see, the other extreme at the opposite end of the spectrum is kind of an arrogant attitude. And this is the second mistake, or the opposite mistake, when it comes to the grace of God. And that is the idea, it might be phrased this way, I'm completely protected by God's grace. The attitude or the idea that, well, I'm a child of God, so I'm going to be okay. Oftentimes, there is a sense of arrogance or an entitlement mentality where the individual gets the idea that, well, since I'm God's child, little sins, little deviations from the norm aren't going to be a problem. After all, God loves me, He's saved me, so I can get away with little stuff and it really won't endanger my salvation. Oh, is that a dangerous game to play? I want to read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 an important passage that Paul the Apostle warns the Corinthians and the Christians in Corinth. They had that mindset, that entitlement mentality, that since they had the label of Christian, they could engage in some worldly things and it wouldn't really jeopardize their salvation. Listen to how sternly Paul corrects that in 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 9. I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the world. But now I'm writing that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Paul is warning the people that you can't take God's grace as though it is a given, as though it's automatic, and as though He owes you something, as though you signed a contract and He is liable to save you now. He needs to do this because you've become a Christian. God doesn't owe you salvation. God is not obligated to save you and forgive you if you persist in sin. We need to realize that we have to properly value God's grace. And it's not just the classic illustration of the fire extinguisher sitting there with the brake in case of emergency sign, that we can always reach out for it when we think we need it, and we can just disdain it and ignore it in the meantime. Please watch out that you don't have that kind of attitude, because that's more disbelief than belief. Persistence in sin is none other than tempting God to punish you or condemn you. So we need to realize that God's grace is there for us to value and to make good use of, to help comfort us when we're feeling guilty, when we're feeling scummy. Christ came to save sinners. It's just such a fantastic thing that we have such a profound illustration of Jesus' capacity to redeem and save people in the person of the Apostle Paul. Paul, when he was previously named Saul, was an ardent persecutor of Christians. He hated, he despised Jesus Christ. He was hauling individuals who held to the name of Jesus off to their deaths. And then look at how Christ confronted him in Acts chapter 9. And he turned Saul's life completely around, such that now, later on, as he had his name change and as he served the Lord Jesus, Paul wondered at the amazing love of Jesus, that he would actually save people that hated him, that he would actually apply the merits of his suffering and atonement on the cross to people like himself. I don't think Paul ever got over that. I think he was always amazed at the divine love and mercy of God as it's expressed in Jesus Christ. Now be sure, consequences for sin will continue. Because you've been forgiven in Jesus Christ, you can be assured that you will be received into eternal glory if you put your faith and hope on Jesus Christ. This isn't a sham. This isn't game. It's authentic call for you to put your entire future in the hands of Jesus Christ and to adore and worship him and live for his glory. That's what authentic faith is. But that doesn't free you from the consequences of sin. You know, if you're foolish and drive a car or a motorcycle too fast and crash and hurt yourself in the hospital, forgiveness isn't going to erase physical consequences of foolishness or divorce or things like this. But it can give you forgiveness and a way to start afresh. Think of it as a small rock thrown in water and the waves propagate, and that's sin. But the grace of Jesus is like a giant boulder that's tossed in afterward, and the waves completely overtake and engulf the former. That's what God wants to do with his grace. He wants to overwhelm you with his forgiveness and love and to put you on a new course in life so that you will not have to suffer the eternal consequences of sin. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that fantastic? I hope that if this is news to you, that this is the greatest news you've ever received. And it should be, because this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is given to you to save you from your sin and give you eternal life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Intercession. In this free booklet, he writes about the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ on behalf of his church, and especially on his beautiful prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. So write today for your free copy of Intercession. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.